is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house, a holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. A holy house of prayer.
This temple to you, Lord. Let your glory fill this sanctuary. Be enthroned on the praises of your people. Lord, we agree in unity.
This is your house.
Come and dwell.
This is your house.
A holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house.
Overflow this place. Decorate our walls with grace and mercy. Let healing and redemption find searching souls. Lord, have your way. We humbly pray.
This is your house.
Come and dwell.
This is your house.
A holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house.
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 Come and dwell.
This is your house.
This is your house.
A holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house.
This is your house.
This is your house.
This is the Lord's house. May we come in completely ready to receive, just be in His holy presence. Praise God. Just glad to see y'all this morning. So many of you coming back. We're just glad for that. We just know there's so many that are still out, so many that are in need. So we're going to go ahead and pray this morning, but we just want to celebrate all of God's victories. and all of His blessings. Those of you that can stand, let's stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Excuse me, I was changing a song, just trying to do a few things. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And you know, I'm not adding anything to what you said, except I was just thinking we were talking about blessings. How what He's brought Terry through to where he is today in preparation for where He's going to take you, and then your testimony after this. Because God is great. Definitely keep your prayers. For anyone else that has a prayer request, just show by the raising. Let's go ahead and give Him some praise and worship this morning as we open up. Lord, we just love and praise You. Lord, we thank You for Your blessings, Lord, for Your love and Your mercy and grace. Lord, as we come together this morning, Lord, may we just lift You up and honor You in everything that's said and done. Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for Your presence. Lord, we thank You for Your love. Dear Lord, we thank You, Lord, for that precious blood that You shed for us. Lord, there's no way, dear Lord, we can even adequately just lift You up and honor You, dear Lord, just with whatever we have, dear Lord. Please receive our humbleness, dear Lord, and our love for You. God, we love You. And, Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for this day and every day that You've given us, and, dear Lord, in preparation and excitement, dear Lord, for what You've planned for each and every one of our lives. Lord, we pray now for those that are facing surgeries. Lord, those that are facing the unknown, dear Lord, for those that are going through struggles, dear Lord, they've never had to face before. Lord, we're placing those that are sick and shut in, those that aren't able to be with us. And, dear Lord, we just ask You to touch each and every one. Dear Lord, we're claiming victory for those that are with us this morning, dear Lord, that are recovering. Those that are going through procedures now or in preparations or waiting on test results, dear Lord, we know that we're placing them into Your mighty hands. Lord, we love You. And, Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for Your love for us. It's greater than anything that we can do or understand. Lord, I sometimes... Dear Lord, as we just lift up and say, how could You love us? But dear Lord, we know that You do. Because it's Your greatness and Your majesty. And Lord, we give You all the honor and glory. Dear Lord, we thank You for this service. Lord, we thank You for our children's church that's going on this morning. Bless them. Continue to keep us safe, dear Lord. And we're praying for the lost now. Lord, through the struggles going on in this world right now, dear Lord, from those from the hurricane to the war, Lord, through all the unknownness. And, Lord, we know that You're greater than any darkness that seems to come against us. But, dear Lord, we lift You up, we honor You, and we praise You. And, Lord, we give You all the honor and glory. Dear Lord, we thank You for our pastor. I ask You to continue to bless him and his ministry. Lord, each and every ministry that goes forth from our church, dear Lord, we ask You just to multiply. Dear Lord, let Your word spread. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and all the glory. And it's the most precious name above, the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen.
Amen.
You heard me say, I said it that way, but we're going to do it. That's praise team. Y'all sing with us. We're going to do this as an opening song instead of using the hymnal, but it's standing on holy ground. I don't know about y'all, but when we can worship and praise the Lord and really receive what He has for us.
Standing. just a minute. God won't let this go. I'm not here for a show. God is the one that's here. His presence is to be honored. We need victory here this morning. I want an old-fashioned victory march around these church walls. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you can get out of your pew right now, I want you to victory march around these walls and give God praise for that He's done, Lord, and that He's going to do in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
water to wine, all at his command. He gave life to the ruler's daughter. He allowed Peter to walk on the water. Jesus is a miracle man, and he'll give you a miracle.
Glory. Hallelujah. I'm going home with Jesus. How about you? In the twinkling of an eye. You know how fast that is? Bat your eye. I'm going home with Jesus. In the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. Well, I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. With the captain of the vessel, he's calling, get on board, and the destination's heaven, safe on that crystal shore. We'll meet with our Savior and our loved ones who have gone. We'll live through all eternity. Thank God I'm going home.
I'm going home with Jesus.
In the twinkling of an eye,
I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or may not know the day,
but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls the church away. We're going. I'm listening for the trumpet to sound most any time, and a crown of life that's waiting, thank God, will soon be mine. I've got my invitation at a place called Calvary, by the precious blood of Jesus, the truth been paid for me. I'm going home with Jesus. Are you at home with the Lord? Sing it!
I made my reservation for a mansion in the sky.
I'm going home with Jesus. In the twinkling of an eye, I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not go the moment, or may not go the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls the church away. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls the church away. I'm going home with Jesus. How about you?
Amen. You know, I feel the Lord. I hope you do too. If you don't, let me know. Let me know, because we need to just lift him up. I'm not going to do any business right now. I think I'm just going to ask a couple of ushers, if you would, after service tonight. Just hit the doors, and if you have an offering. I don't want to stop the flow of the Lord this morning. I know he's healing. I see victories in the house. I know God is touching. We're just going to go ahead and continue the service as it is and let the Lord just minister to us. But if I get a couple of ushers afterwards, don't forget about the Christmas shoebox. Miss Elaine's in the back here. Service. We're just going to go ahead and let the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but because of the blood of Jesus, amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I'm going home with Jesus. In the twinkling of an eye, I'll make my reservation. Oh, man, I'm in the time. I'll make my reservation. Oh, man, I'm in the time. But I know that I'll be leaving when he calls the church away. Well, give him praise if you're going home with Jesus. My, 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 what a day that's going to be. Imagine a place where there's no more sadness, no sorrow, no sickness, no pain, and thank God, no more death.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. No more time clocks to punch. No more traffic to get upset with. Amen. All's going to be glorious in that wonderful prepared place that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has gone ahead and said that where He is, we may be also. Thank God for the move of His Spirit this morning. Thank you for yielding to the Spirit of God. God's working if we will let it. Amen. God wants to bless. He wants to heal. He wants to do miracles. He's looking for a people that'll have faith enough to believe to step out on that faith and call it done in Jesus' name. Well, glory. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of Jude. It's in there, believe me. Right before the book of Revelation. Jude chapter 1, because that's all there is. Beginning with verse number 21. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel an anticipation. I feel a rumbling. Not on the Richter scale, but on the Holy Ghost scale. I think God's getting ready to just pour out to those who want a pouring out. Granted, there's some that don't want it. That's all right. Give me all of theirs. Amen. I'll take all I can get because the day and hour that we're living in, I need all the power of God that I can get. Thank you for standing. I don't want to keep you standing long. In the book of Jude, chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, everybody say some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your Holy Spirit, that we feel in the sanctuary this morning. God, let it continue to pour down. Let it saturate our souls. God, let us be engulfed, Lord, with your Spirit this morning. Help us to lay aside every weight, every problem, every issue this morning and focus on you and you alone. God, feed us that heavenly manna. God, I pray that you would anoint this vessel, anoint these lips. God, let the Holy Ghost speak to us this morning. God, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory, for we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them how much you love them, and you may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you ain't got a time to get around to everybody in heaven, we will. We're going to have plenty of time to get around to everybody to love on them. Amen. God is love. So if you got God, you got love. This morning I want to ask a question in the form of a sermon text, if I might. Are we making a difference? I hadn't lost my place. I just want us to dwell on it a minute. Are we making a difference? Church, Christians, brothers and sisters, are we making a difference? Have we fallen into a routine? Have we become programmed in our worship and our servitude unto the Lord? I know that each and every Christian is hungry for a move of God. But sometimes I wonder if we're hungry for the lost to be saved, for God to move on them, or have our prayers been too much of me prayers, not enough prayers for the lost and dying that's in this world. Please don't show your hand, or please don't recognize that in any way, but if I want to ask you a question this morning, is there someone in your circle, in your life, in your family, at your place of work, that you may be concerned. I'm not asking you to be judgmental, by the way. Are you concerned that they may not be ready to meet the Lord? The song says, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. That's fast. That's how fast your world can change. That's how fast things that you think that you would live forever can exceedingly be lost and come to an amazing halt when that breath of life leaves you. And I hope and pray that each and every one of you have a long and glorious and wonderful life. But I also hope and pray that every one of you is ready to meet the Lord should he come today or should your number come up today. Jude, we find, describes himself, wonderful description, as the servant of Jesus Christ. I like that. The servant of Jesus Christ. And also brother of James. And he's giving a warning to the church. And the warning is that their ungodliness has crept into the world, not only into the world, but it has crept into the church. I'm not talking about the building. I'm not talking about this local assembly. I'm talking about to the body of believers. In fact, if you ever get disappointed about low attendance, you don't even realize the great congregation that Jesus Christ has. It's vast. It's all over this world. There's born-again saints that we may never meet until we get to heaven. If you're thankful for that, put your hands together for the Lord. But Jude here, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, is urging the church to be careful. He's warning them of the ungodliness that is creeping in. And let me say, into society, into our communities, God forbid, into our families. On the billboards, on the airwaves, on the television screen, on the magazines, and all the other things that infiltrate our minds and our bodies today. I think that most of the people here today would agree with me that a great portion of it is nothing more but rotten filth. Rotten filth. And it's made available not only to adults but to children as well. There's no new thing under heaven. What it has been, the Bible tells us. And in this day that Jude was living, the ungodliness became unbearable. He's warning the church, be careful. Beware the ungodliness that is creeping into society. In fact, so much so that in the 15th verse of that chapter, he said that to execute judgment upon all that God would do, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, but church, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. I believe about five times he has used the term ungodly. I think we could probably apply that to today's society. It has become very ungodly. But rather than throwing them under the proverbial bus or writing them off, by the way, let me just pause and say, aren't you thankful that God didn't write you off? I'm speaking for myself. He had every opportunity to write me off. He had the very right to say, I've dealt with him and he hadn't done anything about it, so I'm not going to deal with him anymore. But because of his mercy, because of his grace, because of his abounding love, because of his second chances, he kept prodding at my heart, amen, and pulled me, his spirit did, to an altar of repentance. And then the receiving of the Holy Ghost, his spirit, to lead and guide and direct me. And I'm so thankful for that. Jude here has encouraged the church. Something that we need to be doing. We need to be making a difference. Keep yourselves in the love of God. If you don't keep yourselves in the love of God, you'll never be able to make a difference. If you don't put God first in everything that you do, people won't recognize and won't understand that you are sold out to Jesus because you let too many other things infiltrate your spiritual walk with God. But if you're a firm Christian and a firm believer that I'm going to worship God no matter what, on the mountain, on the valley, in the high times, in the good times, in the bad times, I'm not going to let anything interfere with me. He brought me too far. I'm not going to quit now. My eyes are on the prize. I started this race out to win. I may not be the fastest, but I'm going to endure through the grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm in this thing to win, aren't you? Man, I'm not giving up because Jesus didn't give up on us. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Who knows that God's mercy is everlasting? Everlasting. Amen. You cannot exceed the mercy of God. You really, in our finite minds, it's hard to even fathom the mercy of God. How that Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross of Calvary. You know what? He had the ability to call angels down from heaven to rescue him. But you know why he didn't? Because he saw your face. He saw my face. He loved us so much that he willingly laid down his life so that you and I could live. I want to ask you something. And you don't have to respond, but just think about it. If in fact you found the most wonderful, scrumptious, delicious, I started to say relatively low priced, but they don't exist anymore, restaurant that you thoroughly enjoyed. In fact, on your scale of 1 to 10, it was an 11. And the food was good. The service was good. And the atmosphere was great. Wouldn't you just keep it to yourself and not tell anybody else about it? Oh, no, don't you tell them about that restaurant. No, you'd be like me. Oh, I had the most scrumptious meal the other somebody. Where? Where did you go? Well, oh, let me tell you about this place. Oh, it was wonderful. Amen. The steak, oh, my goodness. Some of you hadn't had breakfast. I better believe. That steak was so wonderful. I didn't even need a knife. I just used my fork. Oh, it was just the way I like it. It was a little bit pink and sort of reddish in the middle, and it was still sizzling when they brought it to the table. It was delicious. Let me tell you about it. Or if you found a product that actually did what it says it would do, if you could really believe the advertising and you brought it home and you tried it, wouldn't you tell somebody about it? Church, let me remind you. Let me tell you again just what's in your spirit. Just what's in your soul. Let me tell you again what Jesus did for you. Amen. He didn't want you to keep it bottled up. He didn't want you to keep it a secret. He didn't want you to, amen, to hide somewhere in a corner till Jesus comes. If the Lord has done anything for you, we need to share it with somebody. We need to tell somebody what Jesus did. We need to tell somebody where I once was and where he brought me from. He picked me up out of a horrible pit. He set me firm on a solid rock. And he didn't leave me. He established my goings. Church, are we making a difference? Or have we become the murmurers, complainers, and walking after your own lust? You know, I got the Holy Ghost, but I still need to repent sometimes. Because I know you would never think it looking at me, but sometimes that murmuring spirit. Anybody else have that? I want to tell you something. If you don't have it, it's contagious. Be careful who you get around. That thing will jump on you. You'll be feeling good and great, and you'll get to somebody, and they before you leave, they got you all down in the dumps. No murmuring, complaining spirit. I want to remind you, church, that's not really making a difference in the world.
That's not really leading the lost sheep to Jesus. Amen. But if you got somebody, amen, that is so embedded in the truth and knows, amen, that no matter what I face and no matter what happens tomorrow, my God's never going to leave me. He's going to be with me. And I want to tell you that that same spirit that is within me is also able to be in you. What Jesus did for me, he'll do for you. He is no respecter of persons. Sometimes I wonder if we're really making a difference. Or are we just kind of floating along waiting for the return of Jesus? I know it's been hard. I know it's been tough against the church and against Christians. There was a time that if you declared that you was a Christian, at least if people didn't agree with you, they respected you. That's no longer happening. Not only do they not respect you, they absolutely despise you. They despise what you stand for. They despise what you believe in. And they despise it because they think that you're going to ram it down their throat. You know what? If ramming down their throat would help, I'd ram it. Ramming it ain't going to get you nowhere. I've used this analogy, and it kind of brings it home, especially to us Southern folks. I can take the most expensive can of Alpo, the one that has the liver chunks and all. I mean, it almost looks good enough for me to eat. And I can take my old hound dog, and I can get him in a headlock, and I can open that can of Alpo and try to shove it down the throat. He'd probably bite me. Because he don't know what's good for him. He don't know how good the ingredients are on that can of Alpo. But if I take that same Alpo, and I'll empty it to a dish, and I'll get down there and smell that stuff. And I said, look here, Rover, I want you to look at, ooh, this is some of the best smelling stuff. Look here, come here, rub a little bit on your lips there. I want you to smell this. Why, he ain't going to bother biting me. He's going to lap it up. Have we forgot to make Christianity so appeasing to people that we tried to ram it down their throat instead of saying, won't you come over and give your life to Jesus? Won't you come to an altar of repentance? Won't you be born again and be ready, and you won't have to worry about the end time, because your name will be on the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll have a table setting for you. A spiritual table. But are we making a difference, church? And then he goes on to say, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I know you've all seen the analogy. Would you go into a burning house to save a soul? Church, would you go beyond your comfort zone to save a soul in the kingdom of heaven? Would you go into a firestorm? I'm not talking about the combustion type of fire. I'm talking about the things that are going on in the world today. Would you go into a house that's just torn apart by all kind of things? You know what? When I said that, the Holy Ghost just said, you know what? There were several people in here had an instant photograph of some houses they know this way, some families. It's just absolutely torn apart for whatever reason. Drugs. Breakups. Torment. Financial issues. Sometimes we don't like to listen, list this. We don't mention this in church because we're a body of believers. But I want to tell you something. There's some spousal abuse going on in the world today. Some people keep quiet about it. And if you know anybody like that, and you know a family like that, or you know a friend like that, are we doing something to make a difference? Are we writing them off? There's no hope for them. They're too far gone. We've tried it. We've invited them. Let me tell you something. You can't get them to church, take the church to them. Come on. I never said that this church building was the only place you could get saved. Are we doing enough to make a difference? Are we carrying the gospel of Christ to those torn up homes, to those torn up families, to those people who are down and out, letting them know there's another way, there's a glorious way that can change your life? Are we pulling them out of the fire to save them? We can't save them, but we can point them to Jesus Christ who can. We can forgive them all day, but that doesn't really mean anything in salvation. They have to ask forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Pulling them out of fire. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. How many knows the power of God is able? Amen. He can clean up the filthiest house. Come on. He's a forgiving God. Not only does he forgive, he wipes it away. Amen. Are we making a difference? Are we making a difference in our everyday life? Are we making a difference by an example to let the light of Christ shine within us so that others may say, I don't care if they remember the name of the church. That's not important. I don't care if they remember my name. That's not important. But if they can see Jesus in me, that's very important. If they can see the love of God in you, that's very important because that makes an impact on people. I just wonder if we're making the difference like we once did. Are we really concerned about saving the lost? Bringing those who are in a backslidden condition back to the altar of repentance. Again, on fire for the Lord. But you, church, you can make a difference. I'm only one person. Yeah, but you got Jesus in you. Come on. You know, God's never needed the majority to win a battle. As long as you got God, you're going to be on the winning side. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, you can make a difference. Daddy, you can make a difference. You can make a difference at work. Yep. Mom, you can make a difference. Be careful, Pastor. I believe in equality. You can make a difference at work, too. You know what I was about to say? You can make a difference at the beauty parlor. I happen to say, no, I better not say that. You can make a difference. And you can make a difference wherever you go. Young person, you can make a difference. And to you, I really want to point this message to, because I agree with you. It is more difficult for a young person to make a difference in this world than an adult person. We have a little bit of peer pressure. They are burdened down with peer pressure. It hadn't been that long. It hadn't been that many decades ago that I was in school, and peer pressure was bad then, but it's worse now. I mean, bullying and, you know, writing you off, and you're not popular if, you know, that kind of thing. But let me encourage you, young person. Stand for God. Stand for your principles. Don't let the world affect you. You affect the world. You affect those that are around you. Amen. Making a difference in your talk, making a difference in your conversation, making a difference in your lifestyle. Letting people see Jesus in you. But church, you can make a difference. James chapter 5, verses 19 and verse 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know, I want to convey to you that it's not always the pastor or the preacher that leads a lost soul to Jesus. I would venture to say that there's some in this audience today
that were led to Jesus by somebody other than a preacher or other than a pastor. If it was, that's fine and wonderful. That's what pastors and preachers need to do. Sometimes it's a Sunday school teacher. Sometimes it's a youth leader. And thank God for the precious gray-haired grandmothers that led so many people to Jesus Christ. Their reward is so great. We need that generation again. We can't bring them back, but guess what? You can step up. You can be that precious grandmother or granddaddy and lead lost to Jesus. And probably every one of us reminisced at what my grandma or mama or me-ma said. In fact, my grandmother was the first one that ever got me to recite a scripture in the Bible. She worked with me till I was able to recite John 3:16. It'll make a difference. In Galatians chapter number 6, verses 1 and verse number 2. Listen to this very carefully, especially if you've been wronged or you have witnessed or been made aware of a brother or a sister that has erred or has done something in their life. And let us remind ourselves of the story to which Jesus instructed those who were without sin, let them first cast the stone at the one who was being subjected to this. But listen to what the writer of Galatians says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are self-righteous. God don't need no self-righteous folks. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Man. Come here, brother. I'm having a very, very difficult time. I'm going to quit. And I know that you've been a staunch Christian all your life. I admire you for that. You can do it no more. You're going to restore me. First thing you do is tell me to get off my feet. The second thing, but you know me. You know my, I've been married 47 years. I've been called a lot of things in my life. So you know me. And you know that you're not going to hurt my feelings. You're going to hurt me. So what are you going to tell me? The microphone that works.
Yeah, brother, you get a microphone that works first.
Right.
Brother, you and I are fixed to go to that altar. We're going to pray about this. We're going to turn it over to Jesus. We're going to do it again. Because Jesus is the answer. Quitting is not. And brother, I'm here for you. If you need anything in the flesh, I can do it. Jesus has got the answer. I'm here to do it. But I'm here. I got a main
You're not going to write me off.
No, sir.
You're not going to give up on me. Done some bad stuff.
Oh yeah,
I've done some bad things.
We all have. We've all sinned to come short of the glory of God.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Well, this is too powerful. Amen. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore him. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. As I prepare to bring this message to a close, I want to remind you that you still have time to make a difference. As long as you're breathing, there's ample opportunities out there. The Bible talks about the harvest. Why? It's the laborers that are few. There's all kinds of opportunities. I've mentioned a few on your work, in your home, in your neighborhood, where you shop, where you eat, whatever those things. Now is the time we really need to make a difference. And we're not going to win souls by shoving it down their throat. I think we all agree with that. But we can make it so enticing to them I'm not going to do that telling them all of our troubles and trials and problems. We're going to do it by telling them how good Jesus is and how wonderful a life it is. And there's no other choice, amen, than living for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to encourage you that you still got time. You still got an opportunity. Don't write that soul off. Don't write that person that turned their back on you and called you all manner of names. Go ahead and try one more time. And that may be the very time. Because I want to remind us of a story, a parable that Jesus himself gave in the book of St. Luke. In St. Luke, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse number 23. And you know the story. This was Lazarus and the rich man. They died, and Lazarus was carried to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man, he was taken to a place of torment. In verse number 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. My, what a span of time changes a situation, doesn't it? See, this rich man didn't have time for Lazarus when he was on this earth. He despised him. He didn't want any part of him. He wouldn't even give him the crumbs. He wouldn't do anything. But now he's willing to let Lazarus, that filthy beggar, come and dip his finger in water and cool his burning tongue. Let me tell you, can make a difference. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf. I want everybody to say, fixed. That's it. It's fixed. There's no redemption after that point. There's no running back to the altar after that point. Today is the day of salvation, but this is fixed, he said. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And listen to his prayer. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Brother Eddie, what? Don't wait till you get to that place to try to be a witness. Don't come. Turn your life around. In fact, and I know it's not possible, it's not feasible, not even fathomable. Brother Chris, if we could get five souls out of hell to come and testify. Ooh, I just had chills. You think they would say, live any way you want to? Go where you want to? Do what you want to? It'd be one of the five of the fieriest testimonies and sermons we've ever heard in our life. Whatever you do, don't come to this awful place. Do it now. Turn your life around now. Accept Jesus now before it's fixed, before it's too late. Don't hear that kind of preaching no more. Listen, I grew up on hellfire preaching. I'll tell you about it. I still didn't go to the altar at first, but after a while I said, I better do something. And you know what, as many times as I failed, as many times as I refused, when I went to the altar, I found Jesus' compassion so wonderful, so great, his spirit so sweet and overwhelming. And I read in the Bible where he's the same today as he was yesterday. He's never changed. Please let this message sink in. If you're full of the Spirit of the Lord, you know you're saved, you know you've got a place in heaven, then make a difference in somebody's life. If you're saved and your spiritual tank is a little less than half full. You know what my daddy always said, son, you better fill it up. He was talking about a natural gas. When I took him anywhere, first thing he'd do is look at my gas hand. I said, Dad, I got nearly half a tank. That ain't enough. You need to fill it up. Fill it up while you can. Okay, Daddy, pull in first service station. We fill it up. Come on. I'd rather go to heaven with a barrel too much than bust hell needing a thimble full. Whatever it is the Lord wants me to do, I want to do it. I want to be sold out to Him. I don't want nothing here to hinder me. Not only that, I want somehow, some way, not that my name will be remembered, not that they'll even care, but I want to make a difference in somebody's life. Whether it's here behind the pulpit, whether it's out on the street, whether it's in my house, whether it's in my neighborhood, I want to lead somebody to Jesus. And if you don't have that same desire, maybe your spiritual tank not quite as full as it needs to be. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every saint of God praying. Amen. If our music would come. Stay prepared to place something. I want you to just take inventory of your spiritual life. And I don't want you to ask me, because this is between you and God. But God, am I really where I need to be? Am I where I ought to be? And am I where I can be? Are you the single most important thing in my life, or are you just a part of my life? I understand and realize there's a big difference. But Lord, from this day forward, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference not only in my life, but in my family's life, friends, neighbors, at work, wherever. So Lord, I'm just going to ask you to fill me again. Fill me up, Lord, till I just bubble over. God, let it bubble over and flow on somebody, because I can't flow on nobody else if I'm not full. But if I'm full of your Spirit, is there one this morning? Would come, if you're unsaved, ask Jesus to save you and forgive you. Fill you with His Spirit. If you're saved and you're a little cold in the Spirit, ask the Lord just to renew you. I still ask the Lord to renew me, and I've been saved for a number of years. But there's nothing like just opening up and letting Jesus fill you. Is there one? While no one's looking, while no one's peeping, if you'd like this pastor to pray for you this week, just lift your hand. I won't come get you. I won't embarrass you. But I will be praying for you. God bless those hands. I see them and God sees them. We will be praying for you. God bless you is our prayer. Some of you gather around and let's pray for this young man this morning.
Mercy walked in and pleaded to the stand.
You know, that's just like the devil.
God's saving grace, the blood was presented that covered my sins, forgiven when mercy I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. Looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense, but that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case and called to the stand. God's saving grace, the blood was presented that covered my
forgiven when mercy wanted. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case and called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, how could this be that someone so guilty had just been set free? Well, my chains were broken. I felt born again the moment that mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case and called to the sand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in. Hallelujah. And pleaded my case and called to the same God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy. Blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Lifted me, saying glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Well, when I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. Saying glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus. has lifted me. Sin had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. Sin had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. Sin had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. Saying glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Saying glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. When I needed healing, Jesus lifted me. When I needed healing, my Jesus lifted me. When I needed healing, my Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me.
Well,
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me.
I said that
I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad,
so glad
that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad,
so glad
that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad,
I'm glad
Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me.
Singing glory, hallelujah,
Jesus lifted me.
Has he lifted you this morning? Give him praise. Glory, hallelujah.
Lord, let me get myself together here.
Thank you, Lord.
I was sitting back there, and I kept feeling the Lord pushing on me, saying, you got to testify. And I thought, oh, no, not right now. So anyway, the thing that I want to testify about is that we have a ministry where we do take women, clothes and things that y'all don't use, that have been battered, that are in this shelter, that are seeking help, and they're at their lowest low. And so anyway, Brother Eddie knows this story because he went over there to help me get all the clothes. Somebody, and I appreciate everything they did. They put a bunch of clothes over at the center. And Brother Eddie went over there to open the door, and he was going to help me load them up. But it was so many, we couldn't do it. And so I come back, and I was just mummering, grumbling. No. And I was. I'll admit it, brother. I was wrong, but I did do it. But we're human, and God knows we're human. But anyway, I was saying the whole time, I ain't doing this no more. This is too much on me. I can't put them clothes in this car. My back's bothering me. I mean, I was really giving it. So anyway, Linda came in, and I went over there, and she was trying to encourage me. And every time I'd say something negative, she'd say, well, Valerie, this is really helping people, you know. And then I saw Brother Luke. Brother Luke's the greatest. He always helps. Always helps me. He came over. They loaded up my car. Well, then I went there and I took the clothes. Well, all the people there came out and they unloaded my car, and they were so grateful. Very grateful. And this is what gets me. As I was leaving, I saw a mother and her son just like this up here today. And the poor mother was walking across the street with her little boy going from the shelter, taking him to play at the playground. And the whole time she was there, she was looking over her back like this and looking around because she was so scared that somebody might show up and might batter her again. So God really convicted me, and he really showed me the way. But I'm not going to give up that ministry. I'm going to do it from now on.
Amen.
And if I can't do but one thing for God, that's it. If each one of us will just take one thing we can do to God, we can make a difference. Just like he's preaching this morning. And then the Holy Spirit fell on me today, more powerful than it ever has. So it's been a blessing. I just want to share that with you. If you're thinking about doing something kind for somebody or something, don't hesitate. Do it. God will bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the devil don't like it. He'll try to trip you up. Because as we were walking out to the Curtis Center the other night to get that stuff, she was talking to me and just tripped and fell. I mean, just fell. And I was grabbing at her, and I was afraid she would get hurt. I said, in the name of Jesus. So I guess she's all right. Let's see. On behalf of the Carroll County Emergency Shelter, we would like to thank you, First Pentecostal Church, for your recent donation. Our organization focuses on providing the women and children who enter the shelter with safety and stability. These items will play a tremendous role in assisting these efforts. Your involvement makes it possible for us to give to the families a brighter future. We are grateful for your generous support. It does not go unnoticed when you do something for somebody or something. Amen. Praise the Lord. Something, and you can make a difference, church. You can make a difference. Come on, brother. Dismiss us with a word of prayer. God bless you. We love you, each and every one. Have a blessed, glorious.
Praise God. We do love each and every one of you, and we thank you for just being part of this service this morning, because you know, God uses all of us in His way and His light. And just thank y'all for all your prayers. Love each and every one of you. I want to welcome again all our visitors. Get a chance, we can prepare to depart. Shake somebody's hand if you would, if you haven't had a chance to speak to them before the service is over. We want everyone to feel loved and at home. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear. I want to invite you all back for service tonight. Just expecting a mighty move of God as always. He is mighty. Did I see a hand? Oh, yeah. I've got some help. Thank you very much. Let's let the Lord do His thing. But if you did bring your offering or tithes, you'd like to drop it off. We've got a couple of brethren at the back door here. Just drop it in the envelope and they'll get it. God continues to bless us. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, again for this service, for this day. Lord, we just want to praise your holy name. Dear Lord, for those that we got to see this morning and visit with. Lord, we thank you for each and every one that's here. Continue to bless the families and each and every one of us, Lord. Keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. Lord, we're going to go ahead now and say a prayer about our service tonight. Lord, we ask for your blessings, dear Lord, for you to continue to pour out let your Holy Spirit pour out his love for us. Dear Lord, we just love and praise you. We give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. See y'all tonight.